City of Destruction, an audio drama by JesusForSinners.com, episode 21.
Full, Mark.
Full? You still have half left. Don't tell me you don't like my mashed potatoes, Mom. It took me 3 tries to get these right.
It's easier if you follow the instructions on the box, Mark.
Oh, that's what I did wrong. Seriously, Mom, just 2 more bites. You've gotten so thin, you need to eat.
I've lost more weight in the 2 months since the stroke than I have in the last 20 years. Maybe it's all the physical therapy.
Or my cooking.
Your cooking's fine, Mark. I appreciate everything you've been doing around here.
You've taken care of me my whole life, Mom. Now it's my turn to return the favor. And besides, we're family. We're supposed to help each other.
I love you, Mark.
I love you too, Mom. Hey, Dad.
Hey, son. How are you feeling, Susan?
Full, but Mark keeps trying to stuff more potatoes in me.
I know. They can be tough to swallow.
Hey, everybody lay off my potatoes.
I'm just kidding, Mark. Your potatoes are delicious. A little gritty, but delicious.
Maybe I need to use more milk.
Where have you been, Bill?
Well, Susan, I went to talk to a real estate agent.
What? Why would you do that?
Susan, we're running out of money.
God will provide for us, Bill.
I know he will, Susan. But maybe the equity in this house is how he's providing for us.
We're not selling the house, Bill. This is our home.
Susan, you've seen the medical bills. We have no money to pay them. If we both lived to be 170, we wouldn't be able to pay off those bills. We have to do something.
I'm so sorry, Mom. I've been trying to find work to help out around here.
You have been helping out around here, Mark. You've been helping me a lot.
I know, but we need money. I keep looking for work, any work. But all my education is in computers, and even the places with entry-level jobs want to know why my first job didn't last very long. No one wants to hire someone they think is a bigot.
Selling the house is the only option we really have right now, Susan. From what the agent said, we can get enough for the house to at least start making payments on the medical bills. We'll have enough for the physical therapy, and I can probably go out and find some work as well.
Someone's got to stay home and take care of Mom, Dad. I'll find something soon. I know God will provide for us.
I'm so sorry this has happened. I don't want to be a burden to you two.
You'll never be a burden to us, Susan. You're the rock of this family. You're the one that holds us together. You remind us to trust God, no matter what happens. Well, we're going to trust Him right now to help us through this. We should be thankful that we even have a house to sell. We'd be in much more trouble otherwise.
Oh, our home. How can we lose our home?
We're not losing our home, Susan. This house is just a building. Our home is wherever we are as a family. Our home is wherever God puts us, together.
Oh, Phil, I love you. I love you, Mark.
I love you too, Mom.
Well, since you look like you're done with dinner, I'm going to get the Bible for our family Bible reading time. Let's see what God has to teach us tonight.
I love this family.
Yeah, me too. God's really blessed us.
There you are!
Hi, Jared.
Where you been, Mom?
I've been at work, honey. When you own your own business, you don't get to come home until all the work's done.
It's after 8 o'clock. I'm starving. When are we going to have dinner?
As soon as you make it. Jared, you're going to help out around here. I can't work from sunup to sundown and then come home and wait on you. You're going to need to learn to take care of yourself a little. And I wouldn't mind coming home to a nice dinner after a long day, either.
Other kids don't have to cook for themselves.
Well, I'm afraid you do. Really, Jared, have I spoiled you this badly? You can't even make dinner for yourself and for me?
I never had to do that before.
Well, things have changed, Jared.
You're telling me.
I am too tired to do this right now. Tell me how things went at school today.
Terrible. You have to go in and talk to Principal Conrad.
Oh, Jared, what happened now?
She said I'm in trouble for using bad language.
Well, did you use bad language?
I used the same language I always used at my other school.
And that's just one reason I pulled you out of that school. I'm glad you're in a place where they don't put up with that nonsense anymore.
I can't stand this school.
It's a better school, Jared. They don't teach you all that twisted stuff you were getting at that public school.
Twisted stuff? Like tolerance and equality?
More like brainwashing you to hate God and His holiness.
Yeah, well, don't worry. I get a lot of that God stuff now.
Good. Oh, Jared, I so want you to understand how important this is. I want you to see what Jesus has done for us all. For you, too.
Oh, don't start, Mom. I get enough of that stuff all day long. I don't want to come home and hear it, too. Hasn't this Christian garbage ruined things enough? My friends are all gone, and I'm in this stupid school. The whole city thinks my mom is a hateful, fanatical Christian. And now I'm basically home taking care of myself.
Give me a break. When you start bringing home a paycheck, then you can talk to me about taking care of yourself.
You're never here, Mom. I barely see you in the morning. You're not home until late at night. And when you get home, you're too tired to do anything. It's almost like I'm an orphan. I'm losing everything in my life. All because you had to go do this God thing. Is this worth ruining our lives over, Mom?
Oh, Jared. God is the reason we even have these lives. He's given us this life, this chance, to repent and believe in Jesus so we can be saved. Without him, none of this means anything. Oh, Jared, I so want you to understand this. Please stop fighting God, honey. I'm so worried about you.
Don't worry about me, Mom. I'll just go take care of myself, since you're not around to do it anymore.
Oh, Father, please help me. I don't know what to do. Please have mercy on him. Please forgive him for what he said. Please, Father, please save him.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're here today to announce the next phase in our war on hate. As you know, since the passage of the hate speech legislation 2 months ago, we've already seen progress in stemming the tide of hatred and bigotry in our city. But legislation isn't enough. Since the law was enacted, my administration has been putting together an enforcement plan that will increase the amount of money and manpower dedicated to the elimination of hatred and intolerance in our city. I'm joined here today by business owners, teachers, and religious leaders from our city who have pledged to join me in this fight. Because this war cannot be won by government alone. All of United City's citizens must join this battle against our most dangerous enemy. People of all religions, lifestyles, and orientations must join together to expose the hateful and intolerant radicals hiding in our midst. Because all of us benefit when hate is dead and inclusion lives. My administration has established a Human Rights Commission to review all reported incidents of hatred and intolerance. We set up a 24-hour hotline for reporting any hate speech violations. The city's website now has a one-click link for reporting hate terrorism incidents. If you see bigoted activities in our city, if you hear intolerance and hateful speech, I urge you to report these incidents right away. Even if you're not sure if a hate attack is taking place, please contact the authorities immediately. It's better to be safe than sorry. We will respond right away to any reports of discrimination and intolerance in this city. We need you all to join in this battle together. Our enemy is fierce, but our values are our strength. We have right on our side, and together we will defeat this enemy. Which brings me to the subject of a particularly dangerous enemy. As you know, I have long been a supporter of family values. My faith has been the light by which I've steered my entire career. This is why I am so deeply pained when I hear people, really, I have to be honest, terrorists attacking our citizens in the name of Christianity. The Jesus I know and firmly believe in told us to love our neighbors, whoever those neighbors may be. He told us not to judge one another. And yet, there are people who call themselves Christians who ignore these teachings and instead preach a doctrine of hate. They condemn other religions. They condemn our LGBT brothers and sisters. They condemn those who don't agree with them. This is not the Christianity I know. I am here today with Christian leaders from throughout the city. They don't teach this hatred. They support our hate speech laws because they don't like seeing their religion hijacked by a small group of radical fundamentalists that are determined to destroy the cohesiveness of this city and do it in the name of Jesus. This is personal for me. This is a battle we must win. This is a battle that these Christian leaders are joining. Teachers are joining. Business leaders are joining. And it is a battle that you must join. We can stamp out this evil in our midst, but we must be strong. We must be vigilant. We must not tolerate intolerance. We must eliminate this hatred in our city once and for all. And with your help, all of us, together, we will win this victory. The battle is ours. Let's fight together.
Just a few announcements before we start this morning. First, I'd ask that you pray for Carol and I. Because of the incident with the gospel tract, we've had to use all of our savings, what little we had, to pay the fine that was imposed. Unfortunately, that didn't cover the total. But they put us on a payment schedule, but the monthly payments are significant for us anyway. I'm thankful that God moved the city to allow us to make these payments. I would hate to think where I'd be right now if they wanted all the money at once. I'm out looking for a second job to cover the cost of those payments as well as the other living expenses. With the decrease in our congregation, there simply hasn't been enough money to cover everything. I know you're all giving everything you can. I know that many of you are out of work or have seen your incomes reduced. This is a difficult time for all of us. This is the time where our hope in God is more important than ever. And even though we may be a poor church, like the church at Smyrna, Jesus knows our works and our opposition and our poverty. He told that church not to be afraid of the things they were about to suffer. He even talked about some of them being thrown into prison. Thankfully, my stay was for only one night. But we need to remember that Jesus will take care of us. Even through trials and dangerous times, we must remain faithful. Speaking of trials, I'm sure many of you have heard President Sherwood's speech the other day, more of his war on hate. Not surprisingly, the children of the father of lies do a good job twisting God's word to suit their purposes. President Sherwood quoted verses about not judging and about loving our neighbors, but the Bible says that those who are spiritual discern all things. The judging Jesus warned about in the Sermon on the Mount had to do with being hypocritical, judging others for the very sins we're engaged in. Jesus said we are to remove the beam that is in our own eye so that we can see clearly to remove the speck out of our brother's eye. And as far as loving our neighbor, I have yet to hear President Sherwood or anyone who calls themselves a Christian yet promotes sin explain how it's loving to encourage people to continue in their unrepentant sin, especially since Jesus said that unless people repent, they'll all perish. We are not judging when we warn people of the danger they're in. God tells us in Ephesians 5:11 that we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but rather even reprove them. If we believe the Bible, and we believe that God tells the truth, and there is punishment for unrepentant sin, and for those with a so-called faith that produces no obedience, how could we ever claim to be loving if we tell people there is no need for repentance and obedient faith? No, we're not judging people. We're simply telling them what the judge says. And we are encouraging them to repent and to believe in Jesus so that they can escape the wrath to come. We warn of God's judgment and share the good news of His amazing mercy. I would just encourage all of you to remain faithful, remain strong. As a congregation, we need to figure out how best to share the gospel while keeping ourselves safe. But honestly, there may come a time when sharing the gospel to help others may cost us. We may be persecuted by the very people we're trying to help. I think we're seeing that already. And based on the activities of our city government, it looks like we might see a lot more. Let us pray for the strength, the compassion, and the love to not withhold this truth from people, even the ones who mean us harm. All right, enough with the announcements. Let's stand up and sing praises to our God.
Let's go, Mom.
What's your hurry, Jared?
I don't want to be here. I just want to go home. Isn't it enough that you drag me here every Sunday? I did my time. Now I want to go home.
I want to talk to some people, Jared. Just go outside and play with the other kids.
I'll just go wait in the car.
Oh, Father, please help him. I don't know what to do anymore.
Hi, Madeline.
Andrea, hi. How are you?
Good. I'm always glad to be here on Sundays. With everything that's gone on, it's a miracle that our poor little church is still here.
Yes, I know. I feel bad that Pastor has to go out and find a second job.
Yeah, I don't like that. The Bible says the worker is worthy of his wage. I'm worried about our little flock having a part-time shepherd. It seems like things are getting really bad, almost dangerous for real Christians. We need a full-time shepherd more than ever.
Well, I think we have a full-time pastor. It's just that he'll be doing extra work outside of church, too.
How will he have the energy to do that?
I don't know. I hope Pastor doesn't wear himself out.
It upsets me to see all these so-called Christian leaders, like the ones that were up there with President Sherwood the other day. They deny the truth of God's word, and they're doing just fine. But our pastor has to go out and find a second job. He has to pay a big fine, and he's on that hate offenders registry just for sharing the gospel and being faithful to God.
Don't worry, Andrea. God knows the truth. If those other religious leaders want to please men, well, they can do that. But the Bible says they sure aren't servants of Christ. God will sort all this out in his own time.
Yeah, you're right. I have to remember that and just not get so frustrated. I guess there's going to be a lot of injustice until Jesus comes back and fixes everything.
Yep, Jesus will take care of it all. Then we won't be troubled by any of this. He'll reward those who remain faithful. That's what we need to focus on, remaining faithful.
That's right. Wow, Madeline, it's amazing what God has been doing with you.
I am blessed, that's for sure. He's teaching me so many things through his word, through this church. I just pray he opens Jared's eyes soon. I'm so worried about him.
Yeah, I heard he got into trouble the other day. His language again.
Again? Has this been happening a lot?
I'm afraid so. We've talked to him about it. All his teachers. That and the other things.
Other things? Oh no. What else has he been doing?
Well, he isn't very nice to the other kids. He's very aggressive with them. He also doesn't pay much attention in class, especially religion class. And he's not really getting his homework done.
Oh, Andrea, I don't know what to do. I talked to Pastor about this before I even sent him to your school. I wanted him out of that other environment. I know he's not saved, but I was hoping that being in a Christian environment would have a positive impact on him. I was praying that God would use that environment and teachers like you to help him see how much he needs Jesus. But he just seems to hate anything to do with God. He's out in the car right now. He didn't even want to go hang out with the other kids here.
Just keep praying, Madeline. I pray for him, too. Several of his teachers do.
Oh, thank you, Andrea. I appreciate that. I'm feeling a little guilty. I've been working so much getting this business off the ground that I haven't been home much with him. Maybe if I was home more, I could help him with his homework, or just be there to talk to him about his day. Maybe God will give me an opportunity to say something that'll make a difference.
I know it's hard, Madeline. You're running a business and trying to raise your son all by yourself.
It sure isn't ideal. I never had any intention of owning my own business, but honestly, it's the only work I could find.
Believe me, I understand. The job options for people who want to remain obedient to God are getting fewer and fewer.
You're telling me.
Mark!
Hi, Mark. How's your mom doing?
I don't know, Madeline. She still needs a lot of help. She's lost a lot of weight.
The physical therapy isn't helping her?
I don't think it's that, Andrea. She just seems, I don't know, worn out. I think all this stuff has taken a toll on her. Not just the stroke, but the problems that Dad had at work, the problems I had. It seems like it's all just aging her.
That breaks my heart, Mark. Your mom's always been so strong.
She still has a strong faith. She's always there to encourage Dad and I when we get shaky. I just feel so bad for her. It's like everything around her is falling apart. Did I tell you we might have to sell the house?
No. Why?
The medical bills. They're costing us a fortune. Plus, we don't have my mom's income anymore. And I'm not bringing any money into the house.
Oh, Mark, I'm so sorry.
Mark, Andrea and I were just talking about Jared, about how I'd like to spend more time at home with him, but I can't with the new business. Would you be interested in coming to work for me part-time?
What? Can you afford that? Didn't you just start that business a month or so ago?
Yes, but things seem to be going okay. I guess no one recognizes me. I know it's busy enough to keep me there all day and night. I could sure use a little help, and I need to spend more time with Jared.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd love to.
Now, I can only afford to hire you part-time for right now.
That's fine. I understand. I'm just thankful to have anything right now. Our family can use any help we can get.
Well, then it's settled. I've got my first employee.
Praise God. Oh, Madeline, thank you so much.
Thanks to God, and thank you for helping me. I'm sure Jared will be thankful, too, that I'll be home at a decent hour every night, even if I'm pestering him about getting his homework done.
This is so great. Congratulations, you two. Hey, why don't we all go to the sandwich shop and get something to eat? To celebrate.
Oh, that sounds fun, Andrea, but I really need to get Jared home and then run to the shop. I have orders to finish by tomorrow. See how much I need your help, Mark? I'll give you a call tomorrow afternoon and set up a time for you to come in. We'll get all the paperwork done, and I'll show you the sign business.
Great. I can't wait.
Okay, I gotta run. See you two later.
Praise God. Can you believe this, Andrea?
God is very kind. It looks like he's helped both of you help each other.
I love the way he works. His plans are always good. He always seems to have ways of solving problems in a way we never think of.
Yeah, that's really good to keep in mind, especially the way things are going. Who knows what sort of trouble we're going to have to deal with next. But it's nice to know God's got ways of taking care of us.
Yes, he does.
So do you want to go grab a sandwich? It's on me.
Sounds good to me. Ah, that hit the spot. A lot better than mashed potatoes.
What?
Oh, nothing. Thanks for the sandwich, Andrea.
Praise God. I'm so thankful he's provided this job for me. The least I can do is spread his blessings around a little bit.
Hey, there's Brian.
I haven't seen him in a long time.
Hey, Brian.
Mark, Andrea, how've you been?
I was going to ask you the same thing. I haven't seen you in a while, Brian. I miss the three of us hanging out together.
I know. I've been crazy busy. We're just swamped at work. I heard you got a new job, Andrea, at Eastside Christian, right?
Yes, God has sure blessed me with this job. It's everything I could hope for. I actually go home feeling good at the end of the day, like I've been serving God all day long. I don't know if I could be any happier.
Praise God. That's great to hear, Andrea. How about you, Mark? Have you found a new job?
Actually, that's why we're here. We're celebrating. A lady at church just offered me a job. It's only part-time, but right now my family could really use the money.
Is everything okay? What's going on with your family?
His mom had a stroke, Brian.
What? When did this happen?
A couple months ago. I texted you and Andrea the night it happened.
I never got the text. Well, maybe I did. I get a ton of texts every day. Maybe I just missed it. Oh man, I'm sorry, Mark. I feel terrible. Is your mom okay?
Not really. She can't get around or feed herself yet. She's going to physical therapy, though. She's making a little progress.
Who's going to take care of her if you're starting a job?
My dad's at home now. He took early retirement from his job. The people at his work were going after him for his faith. He was afraid he'd get fired and not have anything, so he just retired early. Unfortunately, he didn't get his full pension. We've just been scraping by. But God's come through again. This lady at our church is a fairly new believer, Madeline Carlisle. She used to work for President Sherwood.
I remember her. Isn't she the one that got fired for that altercation with the police?
She was defending a street preacher. The police were trying to take away his Bible and make him stop preaching.
Yeah, I heard about all that. Wow, she goes to your church?
Don't you mean our church, Brian? I noticed your parents have stopped coming, too.
Andrea, that church is getting a reputation for being intolerant. Didn't Pastor Jennings get arrested for hate speech not too long ago?
Yeah, for passing out a gospel tract.
There's a real price to pay for standing up for God in the city now, Brian. I couldn't find a job anywhere until Madeline made me an offer this morning. Everyone thought I was a bigot for not encouraging someone in their sin.
It's good to see that everything's going well for you, though, Brian.
Come on, you two. I hate seeing what everyone's going through. Isn't there another way to do this? You guys are ruining your lives. Can't we believe in God and still have lives like everyone else?
No, Brian, we can't. We're not like everyone else. We serve God. We can't compromise with the world. We can't love the things of the world. We can't deny God before men by going along with the sins of men. How is that being a light?
I don't know. It just seems like there has to be a different way. Honestly, I'm worried about you guys. Being associated with that church is getting to be downright dangerous. I know other families have left because it was causing them trouble at their jobs. If they mentioned where they went to church, people started making all kinds of assumptions about them.
Well, if people assume that members of our church don't tolerate sin, and that we tell people that Jesus can forgive them, save them from hell, and free them from their sins, and that he's the only one that can do that, well then, their assumptions are right.
Andrea, keep your voice down. Don't you know how dangerous it is to say things like that?
It's the gospel, Brian. It's always been dangerous.